So I want to give a short message tonight, and the title of this little talk, I always like to give the title because my title usually explains what the message is about, and so if you don't miss anything else, you can at least know the title. But the title is What to Give Jesus for Christmas. What to Give Jesus for Christmas. You know, one of the biggest traditions at Christmas time that we practice in America is gift giving, right? I mean, we're crazy about gift giving. If you need to, you can turn your chair and face me so you don't break your neck. I read recently at ABC News that the average American, this didn't sound right, but the average American this year is going to spend $700 on holiday gifts and goodies. That must be New Yorkers or something like that, but that's a lot of money. But people around here are crazy, in America are crazy about gift giving at Christmas time, and that's not a bad thing. When I was 15 years old, I just got my license, and back then you could get your license. How old are you, Peyton? 15. Back then you could get your license at 15, and they were crazy for giving us driver's license that young, but we took advantage of it. And so it was my first Christmas having my driver's license, and I decided to drive to the Acadiana Mall during Christmas holidays to do some Christmas shopping. Idiot. And so I drove down Ambassador Caffrey, and if you know the traffic down there at Christmas time, during the Christmas holidays, it's insane. I mean, everybody, all the kids are off of school, a lot of the adults are off school, off of work, and so everybody back then, especially even more people, you know, online shopping wasn't such a big deal back then, and so everybody's on Ambassador Caffrey at that time. It was so thick, I almost got in a wreck, and you know, my life flashed before my eyes, and I decided to turn around. I was right there where you're on Ambassador, right where you're about to turn to go into the mall, you know, where Old Navy is and stuff like that. I was right there, and I almost got, it was a close call, and I decided then and there, I'm going home. I turned around before I even got to the mall and just went home. I don't even remember if I got anything for anybody that year, but I know I saved my life. But the fact that people are willing to put up with that kind of traffic to do some gift shopping shows how crazy we are about gift giving. And that's okay. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Because the tradition started because of the wise men. The wise men, you remember, they gave gifts to baby Jesus. Gifts of what?
Frankincense, gold, and myrrh.
Frankincense. Now, we don't know how many wise men there were. We tend to think that there were three, but the Bible doesn't say. We think there are three because there were three gifts. But we also give gifts at Christmas time because at Christmas time, God gave the greatest gift of all to mankind. That's Jesus Christ, his son, to die for our sins and to save us from our sins. And so gift giving is a good thing. I don't want to discourage you. But what's interesting is since it's Jesus's birthday, shouldn't we think about what to give Jesus for Christmas? Can you imagine going to somebody's birthday party and it's a little boy's birthday, and the little boy's sitting over in the corner, and everybody in the room is just having a great time exchanging gifts, opening up presents, and the little boy in the corner is getting nothing. He's just watching, and it's his birthday, and he's just watching all this go on. That would be sad, right? Well, that's kind of what happens at Christmas time. We're always giving gifts to each other, but not many people think about what to give the birthday boy. That's Jesus. This is his birthday. So let's talk about what to give Jesus for his birthday, and you might be thinking, well, how can I give a birthday gift to Jesus? Jesus is in heaven, and FedEx doesn't ship that far. Well, the kind of gift that Jesus wants is not the kind of gift that you put in a box. It's not the kind of gift that you wrap up in pretty paper. It's not the kind of gift that you put a pretty bow on. It's not the kind of gift you get from Amazon or Walmart or Target. Of course, you shouldn't be getting any gifts from Target, but I'm just kidding. But it's not any kind of those kind of, the kind of gift that Jesus wants is the kind of gift that you give from your heart. And so here are three gifts, and they're found in Luke 9:23-24. And I hope that I and you, that we can give these gifts to Jesus this Christmas. This would be a good Christmas if we gave these gifts to Jesus. Luke 9:23-24, it says this. This is Jesus talking, and you're very familiar with this passage. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. So Jesus identifies three gifts that we can give him at Christmas time. The first one is to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny yourself? Well, it means two different things, because if you're lost, if you're not a Christian, and everybody in this room, just about that I know of, is a Christian. Maybe some of these little babies haven't quite gotten that point yet, but just about everybody, all the adults here are Christians. And so, but you know a lot of people who aren't Christians. What does it mean to deny yourself if you're not a Christian? It means to deny self-reliance. Deny self-reliance. You know, Jesus came at Christmas time. The whole reason why he came to earth was to die on the cross for our sins, to save us from our sins, and to provide salvation for us. And the way that we receive this gift of salvation is by what? Anybody? Do you know what I'm thinking? Probably not. By faith. That's the way we receive the gift of salvation, is by faith, as opposed to by works. In other words, you don't get to heaven by doing good works. You get to heaven by believing in what Jesus has done for you. And so the first thing that it means to deny yourself is to deny self-reliance. You need to come to the point where you realize, if I got what I deserve, no matter how hard I try to be good, if I actually got what I deserved, it would be hell. I can't earn my way to heaven. I can't rely upon myself. Therefore, I'm going to rely upon what Jesus has done for me on the cross. And so that's what it means to deny yourself first and foremost. Deny self-reliance. You know, salvation from start to finish is all about Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what he did for us. It's not about anything that we do. All we can do is either accept the gift that Jesus paid for or reject it. That's the only thing we can do, and that's by faith. But the second way, and this applies to most of us in this room, the second thing that it means to deny yourself is to deny self-rule. Deny self-rule. And that is to invite Jesus to be in charge of your life. To deny your will and to surrender to God's will. That's what it means to deny self-rule. When I was a kid, and some of you guys will relate to this, but me and my brothers sometimes would watch this TV show after school. It was called Who's the Boss? That's right. Who's the Boss? And did y'all know we watched that? No. Were we allowed to watch that? We did. We watched that all the time. They never even heard of it. Yeah, we watched it all the time. Who's the Boss? And so it was about this very successful executive, advertising executive, I believe, named Angela. And she was a single mother. And she was so busy that she had to hire a live-in housekeeper, a man about her age by the name of what? Tony, that's right. Tony. And so there was all, I know Eddie was right there watching it. So there was always this tension, though, in the house between Angela and Tony for who was going to be the boss of the household, who was going to be in charge. Well, to deny yourself, when Jesus says deny yourself, what it means is to let Jesus be the boss, to invite him to be the boss of your life, to be the boss of your, and this is a horrible time to talk about this, but it means to invite Jesus to be the boss of your physical fitness and your finances and your thoughts and your words and your free time and your sexuality, your career, your future hopes and dreams. Say, Jesus, I want you to come be in charge. Come be the boss of my life. And so the first gift to give Jesus is to deny yourself. And that means if you're not a Christian, to deny self-reliance. And if you are a Christian, it means to deny self-rule. Jesus, come be the boss. Here's the second gift for Jesus, and that's to take up your cross. Take up your cross. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. What does it mean to take up your cross? Well, back in Jesus' time, the cross wasn't a piece of jewelry, and it wasn't, you know, a nice decoration for your house and the mantle in your living room. The cross was a symbol of execution. It was the Roman method of execution. It was a horrible form of torture. And so when Jesus said to take up your cross, he was talking about death. But Jesus doesn't want you to commit suicide. That's not what he's asking you to do. What's he saying to do? Well, this is what it means to take up your cross. It means to do God's will no matter the cost. Unlimited obedience. It means be willing. This is a gift for Jesus. Be willing to do God's will even if it means suffering. Even if it means losing your family. Even if it means losing your finances or your job. Even if it means getting mocked and teased. Even if it means getting humiliated. Even if it means losing your health or your job or even your life. That's what it means to take up your cross. Do God's will. Make a commitment. God, I'm going to do your will no matter what. And so the first gift was deny yourself. That means deny self-rule. Let Jesus be in charge. But you know, most Christians in America, at least in theory, agree with that. They realize, okay, well, to be a Christian means to let Jesus be in charge of your life. It means I got to follow Jesus' teachings. That's what it means to be, you know, to be a Christian, to be a Jesus follower. But most Christians, and you have to admit, us too sometimes, our obedience has a limit. And most Christians, and I know this is a very committed group, but most Christians in America, they have a limit to their obedience. And so the idea is, okay, yes, Jesus, come and be in charge of my life and of all the different arenas of my life, and I'm going to obey Jesus until it gets costly, until it gets sacrificial, until it costs me something, until it gets dangerous or painful, or until he asks me to do something crazy. I just read a really great book that I recommend. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And I don't know how you pronounce the guy's name, Nabil Qureshi. He just recently passed away. He's about 2 years younger than me, but he passed away. He got horrible cancer. But he was a Muslim, raised as a Muslim. You didn't know that? Yeah, just passed away. But he was raised as a devout Muslim, and he was in America, and he met a friend in college, became his best friend, was a devout Christian. And this Christian must have been a part of a good church because he knew all about apologetics. And this Christian just witnessed to him, and they went back and forth for several years. And finally, the ultimate thing that was holding him back, after he looked at all the evidence for Christianity, the ultimate thing that was holding him back, can you guess what it was? It was that he was going to have to lose his family. He had a very close-knit family, loved his mom and dad and his sister. They were so close. But he knew as a Muslim, if he became a Christian, he would be rejected by his family. And so ultimately, even after he knew, yes, okay, Christianity's right, Jesus is real, it was still so hard for him to finally cross that line, and because he knew he would be rejected by his family. Ultimately, that's what he did, though, is he accepted Christ and his family rejected him, but he got a new family. He got a Christian family. And so in Genesis chapter 22, there's a great example of this whenever Abraham was God's man. And God went to Abraham and asked Abraham to do the unthinkable. Now, you have to remember, back then in that part of the world, child sacrifice was very common. It was a part of a lot of the pagan religions. And God hadn't yet revealed his full character, his full nature. He hadn't yet given the law, the Ten Commandments. He hadn't yet said, thou shalt not murder on the stone tablets yet. And so when God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 and said, Abraham, basically, I want you to prove your devotion to me. I want you to take your son and offer him to me as a burnt offering, your son Isaac, and sacrifice him. Well, it's not like Abraham would have said, well, God, that contradicts everything you've written in the Bible. They didn't have the Bible back then. As far as he knew, this is okay. This is what God wants. And so Abraham took his only son, not his only son, but his beloved son Isaac, and put him on the altar and was about to slay him when God stopped him and said, okay, Abraham, now I know, now I see that you're truly devoted to me. Abraham was willing to do God's will no matter the cost. And so it's very important to realize that the gifts that Jesus wants, first he says, deny yourself. That is, deny self-rule. Let Jesus be in charge. But that's not enough. He doesn't stop there. He says, don't just let me be in charge of your life. Don't just invite me to be the boss, but I want you to make a commitment to do my will no matter the cost, even if it costs you your very life. Here's the third gift. The third gift to give Jesus for Christmas is to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He says, if anyone wants to follow after me, and then he says three things, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, what did he mean by follow me? Well, he meant this. He meant to join him in his mission on the earth. That's what he meant by follow me. Join him in his mission on the earth. When Jesus came to earth as a baby and grew up, he came here for a specific purpose. What was that purpose? He said it in Luke 19:10. Jesus said, for the Son of Man, that was his favorite title for himself, Son of Man, because it refers to the prophecy in Daniel that refers to the divine Son of Man. So he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. So when Jesus came to earth, he had a mission. And his mission was to seek and save the lost, to save sinners from hell, and then lead them to live lives of righteousness to the glory of God. And then Jesus, right before he left the earth, he commissioned his disciples. He said, I want you to go and proclaim this message that salvation can be found in my name by believing in me, and get people to believe in me and get people to follow my teachings. And so to follow Jesus means to join him on that mission. That's what he wants us to do. You know, the Apostle Paul is the missionary par excellence, greatest missionary who ever lived. And he is the pace setter, the example, wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament. But before the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul, he was the persecutor of Christians named Saul. And that was what he did. He went around persecuting Christians, remember? And one day while he was on a trip to persecute some Christians, he had a vision of Jesus, and he became a Christian. And at that point, when Paul became a Christian, he didn't just believe in Jesus, and he didn't just say, Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life. From that point on, Paul joined Jesus on his mission. From that point on, Paul became a disciple maker. He became a fisher of men, and that's what's supposed to happen to me, you and me. And by the way, one of the ways you do that, one of the ways that you join Jesus on his mission in the earth of reaching the lost, making disciples, helping people become followers of Jesus, is simply by being a committed member of the church. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach people for Christ, help them become committed members of the church, because this is the mission of the church, to reach the lost and help them become disciples of Jesus, fully devoted followers of Jesus. So simply by being a committed member of the church and giving your tithes and offerings and volunteering and loving other church members, you're participating in Jesus' mission on the earth. You're following Jesus. So that doesn't mean that Jesus wants you necessarily to quit your job and become a missionary or pastor, but he wants every Christian, whether you're a kid or an adult or retired, he wants all of us to be involved in his mission of reaching the lost and helping them to follow his teachings. So this Christmas, let's not just think about giving gifts to each other. Let's think about giving gifts to Jesus. He's the birthday boy. What does he want? He wants you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him and his mission on the earth. Now, here's the wonderful thing about these three gifts. While these gifts are gifts for Jesus, really, you're the one who benefits. Amen? And so what I want you to imagine, you're about to start a new year, and this is the time of the year for New Year's resolutions. And I'm all about New Year's resolutions. I think we should, as Christians, always be striving to improve and to grow. We're commanded to grow as Christians. Always be striving to improve yourself. But what if your top three New Year's resolutions this year were to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus? This year, I'm going to deny self-rule. I'm going to invite Jesus to be in charge. This year, I'm going to make a decision. Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter the cost. And this year, Jesus, I'm going to get involved in your mission on the earth. I'm going to reach the lost and be a part of making disciples. But what would happen if those were your three top New Year's resolutions this year? Those are gifts for Jesus, but imagine how they would impact your life over the next year. I mean, they would bring so much joy and so much meaning and purpose and significance and excitement and peace into your life if you really got serious and said, this year, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus with all my heart. You would have the best year of your life. And so these are gifts for Jesus, but really, they're gifts that he gives right back to you. So I want to pray for you and pray for us that we could give those gifts to Jesus this year.